It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
I misread Bash in the chat. He said he just took a nice nap. Let's go. I thought he had the letter F instead of an N. I was like, did we really need to know that? Took a nice fap. Remember when everybody used to use the word fap? Oh my God, I want a fap to that. I don't remember too many hip-hop artists using that word. You know, I'm cool like that. I fap like that. I'm hip like that. I'm black like that. Hey, that's a lyric from that song. Here we come, yo. Here we come. Yeah. What was that song? Oh, wait. It goes a little like this, a little like that. A little like this, a little like that. You could go with this, or you could go with that, or you could be like this, because this is where it's whack. Oh, my God. Fat like that. Yes, I'm fat like that. Not fat as in... fat as in, yeah, like all those Sasha Banks poses from C2E2. Yeah. She looked gorgeous. Listen, I saw this controversy today about plastic surgery with her. And look, the sit down is for all of you. I'll answer your questions in 2 minutes. I'm going to repeat this tomorrow, but I want to just say it now. There was a lot of controversy the last 24 hours because some people think that she had all this crazy plastic surgery while she's out. I don't know of any like 5-day remedy. I mean, she's been seen in the spotlight every few weeks. That's the power of makeup. That's the power of maybe going carnivore. That's the power of maybe losing a little weight. I know her eyes look a little different, but hey, that's the magic of makeup. And even if she did have some plastic surgery, so what? She looked incredible. You know, we'll talk about it tomorrow. Let's pretend this is somebody that paid $70, and I'm Sasha Banks. The big controversy the last 24 hours is, if this is me, a paying fan, and I'm Sasha Banks, this is what most of the pictures look like. Ready? I got news for you, everybody. Sasha did take pictures with some people up close, male and female. You know, we're still in a very serious COVID era. And yes, I do believe that C2E2 should have put a disclaimer up before you even purchase these tickets that, you know, people have to be within 6 feet. You have to respect people's boundaries. I think people use this as ammunition because of Sasha's previous past of, you know, not wanting to touch fans and this and that. You know, look, if you prepaid for your ticket and you feel upset by the post today, you have a right to complain. You paid, you have a right to complain. You shouldn't feel guilty. But understand, we are in a very serious age right now with COVID. Now you got monkeypox becoming a very serious issue. You know, some people are very, very sensitive and very nervous about these viruses. You don't know if she's vaccinated or if she's not vaccinated. I know we... technically, no. But no, I can't find any fault in Sasha Banks whatsoever. But I also believe that this is something that should be addressed before you buy a ticket. This way you're prepared. You know, I don't think anybody wanted to get a little touchy-feely with her. But still, we'll talk about that tomorrow. All right. So if you're new to the sit-down, welcome. It is Sunday night. And what's great about the sit-down is this. These are my notes for today. I don't think you want me to read the other side because that's my talking points for Manscaped, which will be tomorrow. But the sit down is basically, we got to remove me from the picture. Sit down is basically, you talk, I listen, I react. The sit down Q&A live, and if you are in a chat room, all you have to do is before your question, write in capital letters the word question so I could spot it quicker. And of course, super chats are not required. They're appreciated. They go to good use. Trust me. Thank you, Daria Mesa, for the save. 1 month, 1 year today became a member. You literally can't see this right now. All you see is Bianca Belair's ass. I literally just say doing this. Yeah, the super chats are coming to good use. Wow, thank you for that save with that. Saved me a little embarrassment. Happy Sunday, Dorian. Thank you for being a channel member 1 year. Pretty awesome, man. Pretty awesome. All right, so you have anything you want me to talk about, you want me to address, you want my comments on, could be anything. Could be wrestling, non-wrestling, could, you know, as long as we keep it fairly simple. This is supposed to be a laid-back show. You know, we just talk about whatever is on the pulse with all of you. I see a couple of super chats came in early. Some of you want me to comment about Sean Ross Sapp versus Bill Vahati. Then I saw somebody post Sean Ross Sapp versus my former co-host, Kevin Castle. Is there any other feuds online that you would like for me to address? Hey, you super chat. Hey, I got to answer it, don't I? All right. Let's start with the live chat for everybody is here. Now, if I do start addressing or answering your question, you know, wait a little bit before sending another one. This way we could spread the fun around with everybody. So, Michael Gonzalez, my favorite moment of the Ric Flair president story in WCW 1999. I hated it. I hated it. See, I knew Ric Flair was not any ownership. He wasn't a consortium in the WWF versus WCW versus ECW or the Alliance. But still, the storyline was so much more fun. It was so much better. And they were trying to, in WCW, force this storyline of Bischoff versus Flair. Now, we know that there was real life heat between the two. And some of what Flair got to say that night, you're an asshole. You're an asshole. Fire me. I'm already fired. I don't know how to look, the only thing I could do Ric Flair well is the woo. And I can't talk like him. You know, my plantar fasciitis. Is that what you say now? It's just they tried to make it reality with Bischoff versus Flair. Obviously, when you have Austin versus McMahon around that time also, I never liked it. I didn't like anything about it. I didn't like anything about it. And it almost felt, let me say this in closing, it almost felt like they put Ric Flair in his president role because him in the ring was already past what WCW was interested in having. You know, this is not like Sting in AEW where there's a lot of nostalgia and there's still, it just felt like, okay, we got Flair, he's locked in, we got to pay him a decent amount of money, you know, let's put him in this role. I never liked it. Never liked it. All right. Let's see what else. Let's see what else. Questions. Like I said, put the letter Q before it. If I could pick any actor to play me in a movie, who would I pick? I honestly, I have nobody. I don't watch, and this is the truth. I feel bad for saying this, but I don't watch much of today's movies. It's either superheroes or cars going 180 miles an hour, somehow flipping 25 times, and the people having beers a half an hour later. You know, other than that, and remakes of stuff, there's nobody. There's nobody. Maybe 20 years ago, I would have taken your pick of anybody who was maybe like a younger guy in The Sopranos or something like that, but nobody. Seriously. I mean, if I take the hat off and I let my hair actually go gray, if you haven't figured it out, yes, I use hair dye. You know, if I let it go gray, you know, not like alfalfa, but if I go, you know, like Polly Walnuts, if I actually let the sideburns go gray, then there's a couple of people in Hollywood I probably would choose. But I can't, there's nobody. There's absolutely nobody. I would have to play myself. A lot of people can't believe how old I actually am. So maybe, you know, with that special effects like they did with that movie, The Irishman, maybe they could computer generate me and make me 20 years younger. And you know what? Make me about 50 pounds lighter. Why, Run-DMG, why Tony Khan let the Bucks weasel out of the match with FTR? I think one of them is injured right now. If you're talking about in the past, I think they wanted to save that for pay-per-view. And the problem is the stars have not aligned. You know, it's going to happen. But, you know, I just feel that the stars are not aligned. I'm starting to see more and more people getting a little bit frustrated. They're starting to see through the FTR stuff. And look, there's a way of going about it. I see people being professional. I see people being real assholes about it. But, you know, I mean, how many times has FTR actually wrestled in AEW since even like Double or Nothing? You know, it's like, I know that they thought AEW had some fascination about them possibly being in the Trios tournament, not even with CM Punk. I don't know. It's just, you know, I understand that they're holding multiple titles and they work the indie circuit and everything, but this is why I keep saying that the Usos are the number one tag team in the world, because, you know, it's like being in a relationship. If you see your significant other every single day, September 3rd, oh fuck, every single goddamn day, you know, after a while you kind of get a little sick of it. But if you don't see the person for a couple of weeks, or maybe once a week, twice a week, you know, it's not so bad. You know, with the Usos, they're on TV every single week. Every week. Two times. And we're not sick of it. Just because FTR is in the back. They're talking to Sasha's Fuentes. What does FTR have to say? That was guess. You know, how do you choose someone to be the number one tag team when they only wrestle like twice every 2 months? You know, I don't know. Oral Carter, is AEW going to survive with the WWE resurgence and with Discovery, Time Warner making budget cuts? Yeah, I think they'll be okay. Listen. Reel in all these goofs online that think Triple H is going to transform WWE into what they perceive it's going to be. They actually think, there's people online that actually think that Triple H is a little nervous, sweating. What's so-and-so going to say about me if I give Alexa Bliss the title shot instead of Asuka? What am I going to do? So-and-so's going to be mad. Oh, he's happy. Triple H has been part of the problem. Maybe not the big voice and the power he has now. But, you know, if you have a baseball team and the manager and the coaches and it's just not working out, yeah, you might keep a coach and who knows, maybe you make the coach the manager. But understand that the coach is under the manager's regime since the 90s. You know, this is the climate. It's a $1 billion company. These goofs online will make you think that WWE is about to go bankrupt. AEW is going to put them out of business. These are the same morons. So, you don't see the stock. Look at the stock. Could someone go and check for me right now what the stock is currently in WWE? It is virtually no change since before Triple H took control. What does that tell you? There's not this crazy trend. Killer Cross is back. Awesome. I fucking love it. I love it for various reasons. But just because there's this much online, I think Killer Cross could be heavyweight champion. Listen to the crowd reaction. Listen to the overall. You know, you're taking a small group of people because they got this loud megaphone. You think they represent everybody. They don't even pay money for this stuff. Oh, but I buy Peacock. I spend my $9.99 a month. No, WWE needs to please people who spend $999,000 on WWE, not $9.99. When the buy rates start going down and subscriptions start going down and the house show sales starts going down and the merchandise sales starts going down and the ratings start to drop here, that's when you worry. Anybody check? No, I don't want percentages. What did the stock close today? Well, what's the current stock, the price? Easy question, what's the price? So I won't tell you because I know the price by heart of what it was when Vince McMahon announced his retirement. Thank you, Twix, Austin, Sam, thank you. $70.85. $70.85. The stock is up $1. One fucking dollar. Look, you couldn't have planned it any better. It's up $1 since Vince retired. You think these billion-dollar investors, these million-dollar investors, think there's going to be earth-shattering change? Come on. Don't pay attention to that noise online. WWE is doing great. You don't break what's not. You don't try to fix what's not broken. And AEW will be fine. AEW has a new TV deal next year. They got to be worth more now than what they were 3 years ago. They'll be fine. They'll be fine. You know, people take emotion and they try to blow it up into an atomic bomb. That's the only way to get hits, likes, views, downloads, whatever they do. You know, but the fact of the matter is most of these people are the ones that told you that WWE gave Triple H the heart attack. WWE forced Triple H out, erasing his history, killing his legacy. Stephanie was a failure. All this other stuff. TV 14, all this other shit. You look at, oh, misusing Keith Lee. Meanwhile, Keith Lee's in the hospital. Am I going to survive? Doc, you know, what's wrong with me? Meanwhile, WWE Vince has nothing for Keith Lee, which actually is actually true if you think about it. Stop paying attention to these people. Stop. Just because they're screaming in vibes and yay. Oh, man, those people are not going to be what causes the product to get bigger and better. It's the overall universe. It's the people that just want to enjoy it. And you could tell when you watch the shows, you could feel it. You could tell who's got something, who doesn't, who WWE stands behind and who doesn't, and who WWE made is trying to develop and push and who isn't. You're smart enough. You could feel it. That's the whole formula behind Sausage. Do you realize there's like 15 giant news stories that you and I broke before anybody? Before anybody. Everything that we have said has happened. If you pay attention and stop letting other people influence you, you'll figure it out. You'll see it with your own eyes. I'm no genius here. And I don't have these crazy connections. I have a few. If I want something answered, you know, I get my answers. But hashtag, I don't want to be first. I want to be right. All these people all concerned about being first. Wrestling News Cole says, Sasha and Naomi will be back. You know, it's stop paying attention to them. I know it's boring. You know, you want to go out and you want to celebrate. And if it's you can't do it physically, you do it through the eyes and ears of a show or people online. I get it. I'm not stupid. But, you know, understand that the same people are the ones that were on that total opposite wrong side of everything. They just want to feel part of the in crowd. They want to feel that they're part of success. They want to feel like they contributed to it. Triple H is finally listening to us. He's finally listening to us. I can't help but to keep thinking about NXT. I'm a huge fan of NXT. That motherfucker never went over a million viewers on a regular basis. Didn't even go over 800,000 viewers on a regular basis. And you had people in there that were in their 30s, maybe even 40. And what are you going to do? Bring him to the main roster and then season him for 5 years? And hey, you know, some of these people are finally getting a push and they're older than what Diamond Dallas Page was in WCW. All right. Let's see. Yes. Tov, I remember DT said the women's tag title tournament will happen right after SummerSlam, and he was right. Yes. Look at last week's sit down. Look at the title of last week's show. Triple H and WWE about to address the women's tag titles. And Monday, last week, I said it could happen as soon as Friday. Sausage. I mean, if you pay attention to the shows, you know, we're throwing stuff out there before anybody. And it's not a bragging thing. If I really wanted to, guys, what I tell all of you, I could drop that in emails and send it to all these news sites. Hey, I got this. Hey, I got this. I got this. I got this. Now, you know what 90% of them say. Well, my sources don't tell me the same. Okay, fine. I don't even waste my time. Not interested. Not just as long as you get the truth and you get the facts and you enjoy a little bit of sausage along the way. I have so many people now that are like, Anthony, Mr. Don, could you explain what sausage is? No. Sit, relax, enjoy the ride, and you'll figure it out. You'll figure it out. CM Punk said he saved wrestling. Good for him. If he feels that way, that's cool. CM Punk joining with AEW was an excellent, excellent thing for wrestling. Some people feel, you know, it's one of the greatest moments of their lifetime. That's fine. I respect that. If CM Punk really feels that he has saved wrestling, good for him. I don't agree with him. It's a combined effort. You know, I mean, he's definitely helped, no question. But even when he returned, I mean, you see the numbers even when he was on TV. You know, just because he's got a title in front of him doesn't mean that suddenly a couple of 100,000 viewers. I'm not watching until he's a champion. I'm not going to watch wrestling until he's back and he's a champion. No, he's got to be the champion. You know, he's good for wrestling. You know, he's a little wacky with some of his comments, and people give him the platform. I don't understand why people gave him any play when he compared Brock to Sasha and Naomi. The motherfucker didn't walk out. You based it on a bullshit, wrong news report, and he still did it, and people still covered it. Why? Because they got to feel like they're part of the inn. They got to feel like they're part of the inn. CM Punk is part of the inn. CM Punk has a crazy-ass following online. You don't want to be on the opposite side of that. So you go along with anything. CM Punk could tell you that this is a fucking black sheet of paper. And you would never dare say, no, Phil. Because some people think that they're more educated when they use people's real names. Phil, I believe this is white. No, they'll say, CM Punk reports that this sheet of paper is black. Fuck. By the way, Sasha and Naomi autographed using their WWE names, if that matters to all of you out there, because we had a friendly conversation about that yesterday. Pretty much knew that they were going to sign their regular names. Plus, like I said yesterday, it would have been kind of awkward if Sasha Banks would have just wrote like an M and a V, you know? So, yeah, they signed their regular name. You knew that was going to be. All right, Indigo, would I had spent $130 to meet Sasha and Naomi yesterday? Honestly, no. I wouldn't, even if I was to get married, even if I had extra coin to just blow, I wouldn't. Number one, you know, they're not my like biggest favorites in wrestling. Are there some people in wrestling that I would drop $130 to meet? Yes, absolutely would. And I don't expect them to remember me a day later. I don't, you know, I guarantee, look, I saw it tonight. It's not even a guarantee. I saw it tonight. You want to see something a little bit sad? And I don't blame any of the fans that did it. Go on social media. Go on Twitter. And type in hashtag Sasha Banks, hashtag Naomi, but mostly Sasha Banks. I could tell you there, I can't put a percentage on it, but there is a fucking boatload of people that paid to see Sasha in the last 24 hours, yesterday and today, and they tweeted her, "Oh my God, it was so amazing meeting you. You're the best. I can't wait to see you back. You know, oh, please follow me." You know, and some of these people, if you actually look at the way they're writing, they actually think that she's not a friend, you know, not a close friend or anything like that, but they actually think like now there's a connection. Scissor me. Now there's a connection. Not everybody, but there's some. There's some. Go, don't take my word for it. Just go look. You kind of feel bad for some of them because you know you're not going to get a like from Sasha. She's a very busy woman. And look, I think a lot of people still don't realize this. Two things. Pat McAfee was a good example of it. Look, I love Pat McAfee, but I got to share this one with you. It's still on his Twitter. You could see it for yourself. You'll love it. Go back to SummerSlam night. Go back to SummerSlam night. He was on the rampway. Bomb as Corbin. Bomb as Corbin. And a few people tweeted him about his intro. He's on the fucking rampway. And they were retweeted and liked from his Twitter account. And you saw these people responding like, wait a minute. Aren't you on the fucking rampway? A lot of people don't realize. I mean, Buff Bagwell blows me away. I got news for you. And I'm not saying this in a negative thing. Do you know that at least two people that I used to do shows with actually had someone else running their social media accounts a long time ago? Didn't even like message people. Had someone else do it for them. I mean, yeah, that's interesting, but when you're talking about famous wrestlers, a lot of people online that are that famous, they're not on social media. They have someone doing that for them. So sometimes when you see a response and you wallpaper it, you sticky it, you glue it, you tattoo it to your fucking forehead, you think that there's some connection. A lot of times it's not the person, it's a representative of theirs. It's a social media agency doing it for them. The second thing is there is a setting on Twitter where if you're verified, you could adjust this setting and all the responses you see is only verified people. That's why you will see somebody write something and you'll have 1,000 people respond and yet they only respond to the blue check mark almost immediately. It's not like, well, it might be their friend. No. A lot of those people's cases, all they see are fellow blue check marks responding. They can't even read your stuff. And it's sad when people really invest in that and don't realize the truth. They don't realize the truth. So, yes, I have seen the Buff Bagwell transformation, mighty, mighty. Look, I know he dealt with somebody that has a very, very horrible past. He didn't know. And from what I understand, that is true. Yes, he probably should have done his due diligence before dealing with someone that deep into his finances. I'm not going to bring up this story here. It's too long to explain. but someone, I think, who's a convicted, what, sex offender and stuff like that. And, you know, there was like a whole bunch of controversy with merch and money being used. You know, you gotta be careful. You gotta be careful out there. But he looks good. He looks healthy. And he looks happy. And that's a good thing. That is a good thing. He lost his mother recently. And that is horrible. They were extremely close. You know, I thank God every day that my mom is still here. You know, I cringe whenever my phone rings late at night. It could be a fucking wrong number. It could be my fiance. It could be some, well, not anymore, but some people would call me up on social media like, hey, you know, you might want to go log on. Huh? It's 4 o'clock in the morning. Huh? No, I think you should go log on. You know, that used to happen. But he looks good. He looks good. All right. Before we go into more questions, let's go to the wacky. If you see me going here, I think I got a mosquito bite on my chin, and that sucks, man. Will I give Thea Hale a spiked drink and have my way with her? No. That is like rape. I mean, no. No. I mean, the closest you would ever get is going to a club. Hey, how you doing? Hey, I'm a talent agent. Hey, you want to go back to my house? I show you a couple of things. You show me a couple of things, maybe I could get you a job. You want to go take, I got my vet. It's in the shop. But it's a Chevette. No, it's a Corvette, you asshole. You know, you got these Jersey Shore Guidos in the clubs that lie through their teeth to try to get a little piece of ass. No. Chris Kutcherer wanted my thoughts on a few of his favorite wrestlers. Barry Windham, Nikita Koloff, Brad Armstrong, Ricky Steamboat. Loved Ricky Steamboat. A guy that, thank God, nobody ever really tried to turn him heel. Never really did. I felt bad when he did the dragon gimmick in his latter days in the WWF at the time because of all that liquid shit that he had to keep in his mouth. You know, Balls Mahoney, God rest his soul. God rest Balls Mahoney's soul. That man, I know he had his demons, one of the nicest fucking people I ever became friends with. I talk back to the days hanging out in mosh clubs with mosh pits, hanging out in the drug den with him. And I still have that promo. The people that don't notice, I know some people notice already, I hung out with Balls Mahoney. It's got to be over 20 years ago. We went to Long Island, and it was a mosh pit party, whatever those clubs are. And there was a band playing, and basically Frankie Stars. Haven't talked to him in ages. I hope he's doing good. Really, really good man. Thank you for your service, Frankie. I hope you see this. I hope somebody get it to him as well. Hope you're doing well. Frankie Stars was like heading up the whole deal. And then Frankie Stars was going to interrupt the band, cut a heel promo, and then Balls Mahoney was going to hit him with one of his infamous chair shots. And then they were going to throw him into a mosh pit. And it was like, now me, look at me. I'm an Italian Guido. It's a disco. I don't listen to that stuff. But it was me, Mad Zombie, Brian Damage, Timmy Arson, God rest his soul. We went down to that place, and Balls was zooted off his ass. And we're like, hey, Balls, could you cut a promo for our hotline? I still have the promo. Maybe I'll share it with you next week. He just talked and talked and talked and talked and talked and talked and talked. Yo, you're listening to the Blackheart Sports Entertainment Hotline. Give these guys a listen. They don't beat around the bush. They don't bullshit you. They tell like it is. They're good guys, and I really care about that. He just went on and on because he was all wired beyond belief. Love that guy. Genuinely a good guy. And he used to tell me that all the lighter fluid and Vicodin and lighter fluid rotted his teeth. And he said he regretted doing all the lighter fluid spots and everything because that, along with Vicodin and other things, just totally rotted his teeth. I remember one time he did this. And I'm like, you ain't competing with Chris Van Vliet anytime soon. for the greatest smile. You know, it was awful. It was awful. But Ricky Steamboat, I felt bad. It's cool that we could talk about Ricky Steamboat and then segue to Balls Mahoney. Where else are you going to get that? Brad Armstrong, I never liked. Never liked. Decent, talented wrestler. Just the Armstrong family is a legendary family. And man, they put out some really, really talented wrestlers. Just Brad Armstrong never clicked with me. When they turned them heel in the final stages of WCW, kind of like it liked it a little bit, but it never got into Brad Armstrong. And you, do you know, I mean, for ages he had me blocked on Twitter. I don't think it's because of that, because I don't throw shade on the Armstrong family back in the day. But Brad Armstrong, I just never got into. Nikita Koloff, I really, really liked a lot. I wish he would have been I wish he would have been in the WWF in the early to mid 80s. I don't think he would have won the championship. And I enjoyed Ivan Koloff. I saw Ivan Koloff many times in person. You know, when he used to throw that chain and it would bounce off the canvas. That shit was scary, man. I don't know if you've ever seen him do that. Like, he comes in the ring with this giant chain, and he just, psh. And I remember, no bullshit, I'm not just saying this. I remember trying to do that with my dog's chain. You know, not Peanut. Just way too, I'm talking just 10, 15 years before that. Maybe more than that. But my mom and my dad had Dobermans when I was younger. And they used to have, like, the big leather chain with the, you know, like, the choker at the end. I would go in the house and I'd go, pish. But the whole thing was fucking leather except for the end. And it would just go, pff. I go, pish. It would just flop. I'm like, how does this guy do it? So I liked him, but Nikita Koloff would have been so much better. Buzzkill. Yes, that was Brad's. Yeah, that was okay, you know, but I just never got into Brad Armstrong. Nikita, I wish, would have been in WWF at that time. Barry Windham, I enjoyed. I mean, even when he was the Widowmaker, I even got into that. Now, for obvious reasons, I don't like the term Widowmaker anymore. You know that? But Barry Windham was awesome, man. When he teamed up with Mike Rotunda in 1985, and he was in WWF at the time, and he feuded, and you know, when I still remember the Saturday night's main event. That's when George the Animal Steel turned babyface. And then I remember it was Nikolai and the Iron Sheik attacking George the Animal Steel. And then they had Mean Gene Oakland near the back, and you know, Freddie Blassie went on the mic. He's a nut! He's a nut! I can't say it. There's something wrong with it. It's demented. And then you see, like, Georgie Animal Steel, because he doesn't know what to do because, you know, you're not going to attack Freddie Blassie at that age. So you got to watch it back. But I enjoyed Barry Windham. I remember when they were going to team up Barry Windham with Dan Spivey, which was really odd at the time. And then I think Dan Spivey might have replaced Barry Windham at some point. It might have been vice versa, but Barry Windham, man, I enjoyed him in WWF. I enjoyed him in WCW when they started really pushing him as a contender for the championship. He was legit, man. I have nothing. I can't ever put it this way. I can never think of a time that I didn't like Barry Windham. Barry Windham was fucking awesome, man. Barry, you know what? The new Blackjacks, all right, maybe a little Kakash. But even the new Blackjacks I liked. I even liked their theme song. You know, it almost sounded a little bit like Jake the Snake Roberts' song a little bit in the beginning. Go listen to it back, you know what I'm talking about. So thank you for bringing back some memories with that. Much love. All right, well, okay. We got to go one step back before we could get to that one. All right, Ronald Crackdonald. Okay, Don, put you on the spot. Bill Bahati or Sean Ross Sapp? I don't know what you mean by that. If you're asking me to take a side, all right. I know a lot of you know that I posted that lighthearted tweet with Aubrey Edwards. I photoshopped her into the photo with these two argued at StarCast. not to make light on a serious situation, but try to like calm things down a little bit. I'll say this. This is the God honest truth. There was a point years back that I did not like Sean Ross Sapp at all. Did not like him. Did not see what everybody else saw. And over time, you know, when news was being reported correctly, his name would always pop up. Always pop. Even when I talked to people, his name would pop up. And I started to realize, like, you know what? Maybe he rubs some people the wrong way, but the guy is legit. And I am a Patreon member on their Fightful. Not because I like them. Not because I personally think that they all have me muted. I truthfully believe that, guys and girls. I think most of the people in that inner circle have me muted because I did my share way back when of trashing a lot of people. And over time, you realize you're like, some of the people you're trashing are actually legit. And, you know, plus it's a different time. It's a different era. I mean, you know, I have my share of criticizing a lot of people, but, you know, I'm an older guy now and, you know, you see things a little bit differently. You know, you grow up a little bit. Now, I'll say this. I never had an issue with Bill Bahati. I was a patron for Keeping It 100. I think I might still be. I'm not sure if I am, to be honest with you. But I never really had an issue with him. I will say this, though. I saw a few of the tweets that he said towards a few people. One of them, a woman, I'm not going to mention her name, but, you know, she gets a lot of, you know, love and a lot of hate. And I took a step back for a minute. I thought to myself, like, man, when you see on social media, you see people out there that really use social media as their primary, as an escape to feel good. To feel good. A couple of years ago, I had so many people that wanted me to go after a few people online. I could have eaten them up, spit them out, put a whole bunch of stuff out there that would have just buried people. And I remember, some of you may remember it too, I live streamed from the beach, just an impromptu live stream. And I said, you know, for a few people that day, I said, what do you want me to do? You want me to do this for what? I'm going to feel good? And then what happens if that person puts a bullet through their head? What happens if social media was their only or their primary escape of just feeling good? I'm not going to be that person. I'm not going to be that person. If that person or persons are shady, if they do it to me, they're going to do it to other people. Let other people deal with it. I'm not interested in that anymore. You know, and I didn't. And I realize when you see people online, yes, having a bad mental health day has been the out for a lot of people, and it's not, and it's bullshit. It is an out for a lot of people to escape, to justify laziness. I don't feel like doing a show. Oh, I just don't feel like doing a show. I don't get many viewers. Oh, I'll just say I have a bad mental. You know how many people I see doing that? And then you don't even realize they're on like Discord 5 minutes later or Facebook, and they're yucking it up with other people. And then you realize they just threw it out there because of. You never know what the person's frame of mind is on the opposite side of the computer. And I just felt what he wrote, Bill Bahati, towards this woman and a few other things he said, I just thought were unacceptable, inexcusable. Do I think he's a racist? I don't know him personally. I can't say he is, and I can't say that he's not. I don't see any history of it, but I do see, you know, a lot of things that he said that I just think are totally unacceptable. So what a lot of people need to understand is that, and this is where I give Sean Ross Sapp credit. This will segue into the other situation. You know, Sean is standing up for his friends. You know, and that's what you want. You want someone to stand up for your friends. And, you know, he stood up for that woman and a few other people to this guy. Now, to me, there is so much else going on in this world that having Twitter fights is ridiculous. And some people, look, I'm old school, and a lot of you know I'm old school. Way back when you said things, even if you're not racist, even though you're not homophobe, even though you're not sexist, you would say things for the sole purpose of one thing, not because you hated a group, but because you knew by saying that one thing, you would upset that person the most. You're cursing someone out. You want to hurt their feelings as much as possible. With me, all you got to say is, you fat fucking guinea. You fat fuck. Over the years, neck fat. You fat fuck. You want to hit me at my lowest? Call me that. Now I don't give a shit. I lost some weight. I still got more to lose. But if you're going to put someone down and your goal is to hurt somebody's feelings, you're going to say the worst thing possible to maximize that hurt. And the problem is, when you're going into the sex category or race or religion or anything else, you cross a line. You can't cross that line. No matter how good you feel, even if you're not a racist, if you feel, if I call that person blah, 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 wait, if I call a person you, and I feel good, and I know that person is sobbing on the other side of the computer, can't do it, man. Can't do it. Can't do it. Can't do it. I cannot defend Bill Bahati in any way, shape, or form of what he said. Now, thank you, Ronald McCrackdonald, almost said McDonald, for that 20 spot. Now, we get a little bit more personal. Giuseppe, with his own 20 spot, now DT cannot refuse this. Hey, DT, Sean Ross Sapp or your former partner, Kev Castle. I found out late, when was it? Saturday? No, it was late Wednesday. I think it was late Wednesday I found out that my former co-host and Sean Ross Sapp went at it big time. And it bled into Wrestling Soup and a lot of other things. All right. I rewound it, tried to understand a little bit of what went on, and I hope I don't make a mistake, but this is pretty much what I came out of this. Being honest, you paid, I answer. I think Kevin, in his defense, did not know what the fight was between Sean Ross Sapp and Bill Bahati. And I think he made the mistake, being honest, made the mistake, assuming that it has to do with wrestling. You know, unfortunately, it was much deeper than that. And honestly, you see me, I don't comment about anything unless I have a pretty damn good idea or pretty good pulse of what is going on. If I see people arguing about something and I don't know her backstory, I stay out of it. I don't have to give my opinion on every little thing that goes on online. The problem is, in this day and age, everybody has to give their two cents. Everybody has to give their opinion. Everybody has to put their own comment. Eddie Guerrero's a B-plus player. You know, instead of just taking that stupid schmuck that had 22 followers or 27 followers that you know was just trying to trigger people online. No, people decide like, hey, I'm going to show how great of an Eddie Guerrero fan I am, and I want 150 likes back. So I'm going to embarrass this person and say, well, Eddie Guerrero is not a B-plus player. And you gave all this motherfucker all his attention, and all it did was let out the wolves, and everybody else started doing the same thing. Owen Hart was a B-plus player. Owen Hart would have amounted to nothing if he didn't die. And then it just continues. People just want to feel involved with everything. And in the case of this, I think he made a comment, did not understand how raw and personal this was, this fight that went on between the two, and it just morphed into something that it didn't need to be. I didn't say anything online. I didn't DM anybody. I didn't get involved. And I thought, for me, the best thing for me to do is stay clear the fuck away from it. Because, number one, I'm a big boy. You know, it was only 2-3 months ago where a bunch of people online decided to really fucking go after me. And, you know, look, you know, it was what it was. And I just, you know, I let it be. What am I going to do about it? You know, it hurt. Of course it hurts. But the thing is like, you know, like I didn't see anybody running to my defense, you know, in anybody, but I didn't want it. So I just decided stay clear away. My take on this is this, you know, I had 2 cancer scares, getting married. Both my parents are not in great health. You know, there's a lot of other things going on. My uncle has stage 4 cancer. You know, and there's a lot of other things. And it's like, you know, do I benefit or is it healthy to just have fights online? You know, that's why I don't call people goofs anymore. That's why I don't go after individual people. That's why I don't go after. The only thing I do now is try to give you correct news when everybody else is just using you for clickbait to get hits, likes, Patreon, whatever it is, you know? So that's all I do now. I call out the people that are lying to you, that are guessing, that are just using your emotion to get hits. And at least I'm backing it up with, you know, things actually coming true. Oh, shit, he was right. He was right. He was right. He was right. But in the case of this, you know, I think it blew up into something that it didn't need to be. And it's a shame. It's a shame because, honestly, I have no beef with Kevin Castle anymore. He's still part of our Patreon. For everybody that supported us over the years that still want content from both of us, bonus content. So I have no ill will towards him. I have no ill will towards Sean Ross Sapp. You know, I understand, you know, that there are some people online that will really take this and blow it up into something mega. But I think at the end of the day, it was a simple case that this had nothing to do with wrestling between Bahati and Sean. It had to do with personal stuff. And I think probably the best thing for a lot of people, including me, is to stay totally out of it. That's why I even put the Aubrey Edwards thing. That was my way of saying, look, I'm out of this. I'm out of this. All right. Do I have ill will versus Fuego del Sol, Rams fan? Let me tell you something. Fuego del Sol, if you look at him outside of the mask, you would never in a million years think that he would ever amount to much in wrestling for the simple reason that there's 1,000 people his size. You know, unless you are magical on the mic, amazing, unbelievable in the ring. And even in the case, look at Ricochet and others who have been overlooked way too often in WWE that don't get the push. Mustafa Ali is another one. You know, like you look at that guy and you say to yourself, the fuck is this guy all over TV in the early stages of AEW? But look, man, he got an opportunity and he maximized that opportunity. I can't say anything bad about Fuego del Sol at all. And do I follow his work? Not really. Am I a fan of his? No. But I cannot throw shade on someone who loves wrestling, who wants to make this a career, gets an opportunity, and tries to make the best of it. That's how I look at it. So, yeah, I don't have any ill will for Fuego at all. None. Zero. Why they have wrestling blow-up dolls and kids in Japan? It's a different culture, man. It's a different culture. I don't condone kids in the ring. Shit. You know, I could tell you something. I'll tell you something. Any of you know, I'm not going to get into this whole thing, but some of you always ask about growing up Don Tony. You know, when I first was managing in VPW as a heel, a lot of you know the night that I brought my family and I brought some friends to Center Reach, Long Island, Suffolk County, Hicktown, with all due respect. And long story short, when you go to an indie wrestling event, you got 4 sides of the ring, and there's fans on all 4 sides. Well, what I did was I filled up one side of the ring with just nothing but friends and family. There was no regular fans on that side of the ring. And as a heel from Howard Beach, John Gotti territory, I brought out six-foot heroes, cannolis, soda. I don't think we had alcohol. And I had a few guys that worked at my dad's produce department serving everybody. They only served that one side of the ring. The other three sides just watched this. They had no idea it was my family and friends. I've showed the footage here. I kissed my brother on the cheek. I hug it. But my brother's two kids were there. At the time, his two kids were probably about six or seven. And we were actually trying to come up with something where one of the wrestlers was going to get either try to go after the kids or vice versa or something. And my brother thought it was the coolest thing. And I thought it was cool at first when I thought about it. I'm like, yeah, it would be pretty wild. And then I was like, nah. They're not wrestling fans. You're talking about two, you know, girls under the age of 10. We never did it. No, this is not the X-Lax story. This was me just feeding one side of the building. This was, put it this way, you got to look at the camera work. You got to look at the rest of the building when you see this happening. I mean, I know a lot of you talk about Karens and white privilege and all this stuff. I mean, white privilege wasn't even something that was talked, but the whole building was predominantly white. And you got to see, so there was one guy with a cowboy hat. You look at him, he looked like he was turning into Yosemite Sam. He looked like he had the rosy cheeks. He was so pissed off that this one side of the building was eating and drinking and no one else was able to eat. So that was epic. But I'm totally against kids. I think one of the dumbest things in WWE history was Braun Strowman having a tag team championship with Nick. Now, do I find fault at the kid? No. What was the referee's name? Jack Doan or something? What was his name? I mean, you know, I can't find fault in the kid. If you're a wrestling fan, you're a kid, and your father's working for the biggest company in the world, and they want to do something with you where you're going to be a tag team champion, that's fantasy. That's fantasy come true. So I can't find any fault in the kid, but it was one of the worst things that WWE has ever done. Everybody talks about Katie Vick being the worst moment in WWE history. I think in the top five, it's got to be Nick being a tag team champion. That was awful. It was freaking awful. As far as blow-up dolls, yeah, you know, the Dudleys would bring a blow-up doll in ECW once in a while. John Cone. I was close. What did I say? Doan, Jack Doan, John Cone. I was on the right path. But the Dudleys would bring, I think Sign Guy Dudley used to bring a blow-up doll to the ring once in a while in ECW. So, you know, look, it's a different culture. Al Snow eating his own dog. You know why it wasn't in my top 10? Because we knew he really wasn't eating his dog. Pepper? What was it, Pepper? I mean, that was kind of funny. Let me tell you something. Seriously, no bullshit. I see all these what culture or cultaholic, whatever the shit is, and they talk about the most awful moments in WWE history, and they have the Big Show with his father's funeral. Guys, gals, I swear to fucking God, the Big Show surfing on the casket is in my top 10 of my favorite moments in WWE history. I fucking laughed my ass off that the Big Boss Man is in like one of these cars from like the Blues Brothers movie, and you see Big Show just holding on to the cat. I couldn't stop laughing. It looked like a bad Benny Hill skit. People call that one of the worst, because, you know, in this day and age with snowflakes, that is awful. That is disgusting. They took his father. Motherfucker, do that for me when I die. Seriously, do that for me. Fucking put me in a casket and fucking surf it down the boulevard. Fucking do something. I'm telling you, do anything. As long as you keep my name alive, fuck yeah. Phobic shaming. I never used that term, Josh. Phobic shaming. That's interesting. Phobic shaming. Be honest, for you longtime people out there, did you ever think that yours truly would grow up from a lot of the crazy shit that we used to like talk about and stuff? I look back on some of it and it's like watching a movie. Like I listen to some old shows and everything. I mean, nothing really crazy over the top, but you know, I just look back. I'm like, wow. Okay. That's like, yeah, we couldn't get away with saying that in 2022. So, all right, let's answer a couple of more questions. Cruiser, I still can't believe about that Thea Hale thing. Ugh. It's not even like, I know he's just kidding. All right. TLC 1 from SummerSlam 2000 or TLC 2 WrestleMania 17? I probably would go with WrestleMania 2. I don't know. There was just something different about it. Maybe because of the WrestleMania vibes. Maybe that's why I kind of felt a little bit different. SummerSlam caught me off guard when that went down. I mean, I don't know. They just felt differently. You know, maybe because SummerSlam 2000, you really didn't see that before. But man, you know, some of the spots, WrestleMania, you know, they're both up there. They're both up there. You know, it's, I don't know. It's very, 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 very close. But I would probably lean towards WrestleMania. All right. Julian says, when I pass, knock on wood, he says, oil up my corpse, roll him out to the ring. He'd still be better than a bunch of... I'm not good. Come on. I appreciate the kind words, but let's be honest. I do want... I never really thought about it all that much. Like, you know, I would definitely want like, you know, like one podcast, you know, little tribute to me or something. But I haven't really thought about it. I'm not leaving here for a couple of more decades. I feel it. I got that feeling. So with my luck, I don't wake up tomorrow. All right. Thoughts on Virgil saying he slept with a million girls, a million Canadian. I mean, Virgil could say whatever he wants. In Virgil's mind, Virgil thinks he slept with a million girls. Good for him. You know, do I think Virgil had his share of ass over the years? Absolutely. Virgil was not an ugly guy. I mean, I don't float that way, but he wasn't an ugly guy. I mean, you know, shit. You go back to those days with ECW and XPW, even some of the things I witnessed. I mean, everybody got something. Listen to the stories that Bill Alfonso has told. Think about Bill Alfonso when he was in ECW, when he became the heel referee and then the manager for Taz, RVD, Sabu, and what he did there. Just imagine those teeth and going back to the hotel and having women waiting for you. I mean, I'm sure they probably weren't. They probably didn't make any magazines, if you know what I mean, but... everybody had their share of women. It's physically impossible for him to have had sex with a million women. All right. Yes, Kimono Alea was extremely attractive. She was also a very nice person. I heard nothing but good things about her behind the scenes. Didn't she date Terry Taylor for a little while? For all I know, they could be still together. I don't know. Michael Gonzalez, least favorite version of the Horseman? That is a great, great question. I got to be honest with you. Even though I have always said this, I take pride because this year, next year, you know what's going to happen. Let's be honest. You know what's going to happen. And you're going to have all these people come out of the woodwork. Oh, I was always a fan of Mongo in WCW. You know, all those Twitter accounts making fun of all this shit will quietly get deleted. I have take pride since starting my hotline in 1997. I have always said that I was a fan of Steve Mongo McMichael. Guy worked his ass off to try to be a legit wrestler. It was rough. If you watch closely, it's rough. You try to look the other way at some of the shit that he tried to do and couldn't do. It gets rough at times. But I always appreciated how fucking hard he tried. With that said, though, I didn't like him and the Horsemen. Didn't feel it. I don't care how many times he did this shit. My early website that I launched in 99 or 98, I had that version of Horsemen on my banner. First, it was Graham, Brody, and Ric Flair, and then I had that version of the Horsemen. I didn't like it. I didn't like it. To me, and that's probably the worst version of the group as well. I didn't mind, you know, others in it, but Mongo, it just didn't feel the same. Even though when Flair came back that night, when they're all wearing suits in the ring, you know, that was beautiful. I mean, you know, but it still did not feel the same. For me, even though I'm not a fan of Ole Anderson, I don't like Ole Anderson. I never wanted Ole Anderson as a Horseman, but for me, I will always, when you say to me, Four Horsemen, my immediate mind is Tully Blanchard, Arn Anderson, Ole Anderson, Ric Flair, J.J. Dillon, their manager. To me, that is the Four Horsemen. You have variations, of course. Over the years, you could have variation. Barry Windham was awesome. Lex Luger actually didn't do a bad job. The storyline with Sting was great. Benoit, he backed it up. Really can't complain. But for me, that Horseman will always be the four, I said. Can Io Sky pull off being a heel in the main roster with a high flying persona? Chris S. Sure. Sure. Bailey on the mic. So Io Sky doesn't have to talk as much. All she's got to do is laugh and taunt and do what she does in the ring. Sure. There's a lot of buzz of Asuka wanting to be in this tag title tournament. And it'll probably happen. We'll probably get Alexa Bliss or somebody like that. I know some people are holding out hope that Kairi Sane would come back. I mean, that would be great. I'd love it. Big fan of Kairi Sane. I don't know if it'll happen. But I tell you the truth. I want to see Io Sky versus Asuka. And I want to see Io Sky and Asuka as a team. Not just because they're both Japanese or from, you know, that area of the world. I think they would be tremendous together. But I think Sky and Kai, that's probably the way they're going to go. Edge is asking, how many times do I think the German dude gets a beating from Gunther? You know, I do not see Ludwig Kaiser breaking away from Gunther. I think that would be a tremendous mistake. He just oozes heel. When he comes out there and cuts that promo and he's just confident with his chin and that smirk, you just want to punch him in the goddamn mouth. I don't see Ludwig Kaiser as a babyface. I don't see him breaking away from Gunther. I think that would be an epic mistake. I think Gunther doing this to Ludwig is almost the equivalent of a heel saying, if my mother tried to take this title off of me, I'll punch her in the mouth too. You know, some heels over the years, they would go do dirty against their mother if they had to, just to keep what's theirs. That's Gunther's version of it. So you get a little sympathy for Ludwig Kaiser, but he takes it, and I think that will pass. I don't think you will see that many more times. This is not going to turn into like repeated abuse. This is to just set the tone about Gunther. So I don't think that'll stick around. Liam Savage always wondered, when I talk about how low the contracts pay for a lot of AEW wrestlers, is that inside info I have? Sure, Absolutely. Because, you know, here's the thing. Without saying names, here's the thing. You see in this day and age, if you have a gripe about something, no one contacts anybody privately anymore. You get a bad cup of coffee, I got to throw shade at the place on social media. You know, your luggage is lost. Instead of calling the fucking airline, you tweet them. So you get a million people that follow you. They're like, yeah, what the fuck is wrong with you, JetBlue? Like, everybody's got a race to social media. And when it comes to money, contracts, pay, a lot of people like to talk. A lot of people like to talk to other people like, I don't know if this is good. I don't know if I should, this is fair. What do you think? And then that person, oh, no, I won't say nothing. And then that person tells it, and they go to, people like to talk. People like to talk, and it floats around. And let me say this. There are some people that work in AEW that I'm friendly with. I'm absolutely friendly with. A few people that I DM every week or so. See how they're doing. You know, tell them that, you know, support. Some of them tune into the shows. I get DMs, not all the time, but I get it from some people. Yo, man, keep doing what you're doing. Loving what you're doing. Keep it real. Keep calling it as it is. You know, a lot of people don't understand that formula. They won't accept that formula. They don't understand. They think that, and I'm being honest here, a lot of people out there think that by overly gushing about wrestlers or Tony Khan and others, that that's the way to get in sooner or later. Believe me when I tell you, some people find it, what's that word? Cringe. Cringe. They find it cringe. Believe me when I tell you, when some people put Tony Khan and make him look like God, and they're using words like God and boss and all this other stuff, you know, some people, it's different. They don't mean it that way. But in some other cases, it gets into the cringe territory. It gets into awkward territory. You know, even the Killer Cross stuff. You know, he said not too long ago in an interview that, you know, people were telling him before he was even in WWE, like, oh, you should be here and you should be in WrestleMania. And he was like, no, I'm not ready for that. But people thought that's what they wanted to hear. So, you know, some people, you know, they don't mind the criticism. As long as they see that you're offering it because you are just giving an outside opinion about something, you want to see it better. You know, some people truthfully believe that us mocking the ranking system in AEW is part of the reason why they changed it. No bullshit. I've had a few people behind the scenes tell me that, like, DT, you'd be surprised how much that Jay Lethal 3 really, like, hit a few people. Hey, if that's true, cool. I don't have to put it on a resume or anything like that. But, yeah, over the years, you become friendly with people directly, indirectly. And, you know, out of respect, I always keep people's names off unless they tell me it's okay. If someone doesn't mind mentioning publicly they support my shit, yeah, that's different. But, no, I don't ever, especially when it comes to contracts, I don't say things unless, you know, I get some pretty legit information behind it. But I will say this, a lot of wrestlers that are getting paid very, very low money in AEW, they would rather get paid a very low amount of money and have that AEW exposure than to have nothing at all. Seriously. You know, I'm not trying to compare any of us in the podcasting world, but it's no secret. A lot of people in podcasting 10, 15, 20 years will pay and never see a penny come back. They do it because they love it and because that's the only way that they could get their product out there. For wrestlers, it's not that much different. They're not going to put themselves in bankruptcy. Obviously, people don't want to do things for nothing, but look at indie wrestling 20 years ago. 20 years ago, you had women wrestling for promotions that I was involved in that got paid zero. That was the whole story behind the beauty contest that I did. St. Valentine's Day Massacre, USA Pro Wrestling. Google it. I did a beauty contest that night, and I actually collected money from people online. And this is a true story for those that don't know it. A lot of women in USA Pro Wrestling were not getting paid anything, or very, very small. Very, very small. So I pitched to the Mass Maniac, hey, how's about we do a beauty contest and we'll have people online donate money, real money, and then we really give it to the winner. This way they feel like they actually gave it to, you know, someone who's deserving, female. He loved the idea, and we did it. We raised, I think, $235. But the idea was, you know, to give a little bit extra. And let me tell you something. Without naming any particular names right now, some of the women in that beauty contest took it very, very seriously. $235 was not going to change their life. But because they rarely ever saw a payday, very, very small money. I'll throw a couple out there. Penny Dreadful, Tara Charisma. Those are two right off the bat. Who's Louise? She used to brawl also. A lot of these women made almost nothing. Almost nothing. So, you know, they did it because they wanted to get to the next level and maybe get noticed and maybe get paid some decent money. Simply Luscious was another one. There was quite a few people. You know, here's a good one. Cookie from TNA. She was Becky Bayless in the indie circuit. And from her keeping her mouth shut, not complaining, getting paid very, very little, TNA noticed her. TNA brought her in, and she got paid a little bit. So a lot of the women back then made almost nothing, in many cases made a goose egg. And they did it because they wanted the exposure. So some of the people in AEW that are getting paid a very, very, very low base, they're doing it because that exposure is better than none. All right, I didn't realize we're this late already. We're at 77 minutes. So let's go like another 12, then we'll call it. Because tomorrow we have a big show. It's after Raw. So we will do a Raw review. We'll see what happens with the women's tag tournaments. You know, now I think people are starting to fantasize Sasha and Naomi confronting the new tag champs. What did we say, like 2 months ago? I think we brought that up like 2 months ago. People are now, only now, bringing up, what? Tommy didn't say that. It's all good. It's all good. Sometimes I think we're way too early. Because by the time we talk about it, like, oh, that's old news. We talked about it before fucking CM Punk got injured. You know, that's kind of an exaggeration, but all right. Benjamin, his big boy steam engine video has gotten 220,000 views. How could he tell if it's organic views or a bot infestation? Very, very hard. What you got to do is look at your analytics and look at where it is coming from. I will tell you, we do have some following in India. Obviously, some people are even live with us once in a while. But our viewership is not 10% of the audience. And I'm going to give you a little scoop. A little scoop. Never made this public before. Just to show you. You go back about a year and a half ago. You look at my pay-per-view recaps. You will see some shows 20,000 views, 30,000 views. And then the next day it's 2,000. What I found out, and you only learn as you go along. I'm doing this 26 years now, and 24 of it was audio only. Do you know that, I don't know who they are, but some people who podcast on YouTube went and bought bots and blew up my numbers because they knew YouTube would not recommend it. Because YouTube can tell when numbers are falsely inflated. And if they believe that your numbers are falsely inflated, they will not promote your shows. Not only that, these bots only tune in for 30 seconds. If you have a two-hour show and three-quarters of your views are people only tuning in for 30 seconds, how does YouTube feel that you got a two-hour show and three-quarters of your audience won't even tune in for a minute? That tells YouTube they're not interested in your stuff. Why should we tell anybody else about it? And back then, to try to fuck with my channel, that's what some people were doing. They were buying bots, blowing up my numbers, not to make me feel good, like, hey, oh my God, did you ever see me go online and say, oh my God, everyone, we had 5,000 people live. We have 30,000 people. I don't do that because when I look at the analytics and I see that shit, I'm like, okay, someone is worried that my show's going to get recommended instead of theirs, so they threw a bot. Nothing you could do about it. None you could do about it. No, SoFly, that is not the Tony Khan stuff. Because Tony Khan never provided proof. Tony Khan said he had these people outside agencies. No, all you got to do is go on YouTube, go in your analytics, and look at the source. Here's another example. If you're doing a two-hour show and you get 20,000 views and you look and that for 5 minutes, the viewers went like this. It looks like somebody's heartbeat. And it goes like that. They can tell. That's why even when, let me be honest with you, when WWE brags they have 2 billion views on YouTube, you honestly don't know how many of those are bots. Just like when people brag that they got 1 million followers on YouTube, you think these celebrities that have 2, 3, 4 million followers on YouTube, you don't think that there's a chance that maybe a quarter of them might be all bot accounts? There is a website where you could type in somebody's Twitter name and it gives you an idea how many people are fake accounts. The president's account, whether it was Trump, Obama, Biden, go look up that. And people will tell you that there's at least, 3, 4 million fake accounts out there. So there's ways of checking. All right. Got about 6 minutes left. Let's start bringing this home. Yeah, TK was never going to expose those bots. It was ridiculous. It was ridiculous for him to even bring it up because that comes with the territory. It's on Facebook. It's on Twitter. It's on YouTube. It's on Instagram. It's everywhere. There's no out of the ordinary. I think Tony Khan was better suited to just keep quiet about that stuff. Because the problem is he can't hire bots to watch the live TV shows. He can't hire bots to watch Rampage. You think he goes on Google, bot to watch Rampage, bot for TV. Can I hire a bot to watch TV for 30 minutes? No, not just quarter hour. We cannot just have quarter hour. We must have bot watch 30 minutes minimum, preferably a Wheeler Yuta match. Nope. So he could do that. What's the excuse of the ratings, especially on Friday? All right, Kevin Milwaukee would be the best way to book the Junkyard Dog into a heel turn world title run? Yeah. Not now. It would be kind of hard. Look, back in the day, you couldn't do it in the South. Racism was really, really bad. He was beloved, but he was not breaking through like that. I think if the Junkyard Dog would have been around maybe a decade or two later, probably would have been a little bit of a different story. Unfortunately, during that time, I put him in the same category as Jimmy Snuka. And believe me, people weren't as racist to Jimmy Snuka. But some wrestlers were so popular, they didn't need a title belt. If wrestlers needed a title belt, I guarantee you Dusty Rhodes would have had a much longer title reign. Go Google how long he had his reigns, and you'll see what I'm talking about. By the way, did you all see my poncho? Did you see my poncho? go to my Twitter, at DonTonyD. I don't have the picture here right now. I'll show you tomorrow. But if you want to see it now, go to the community section here on YouTube. I bought a poncho, and it looks just like Dusty Rhodes' polka dot outfit from WWF. It's, and I'm wearing it to Florida. I said to her, I said, nah, I got to. The only problem is now everybody's going to look out for the polka dots that live in Florida. You know, I have some people that want to hook up. I'm on my honeymoon, man. Yeah, maybe if we bump into each other. And listen, if I go to NXT, you best believe that at some point I will be wearing that poncho, but I will also be wearing the I'm a Don Tony guy, and she'll be wearing I'm a Don Tony girl if we go to NXT. It's still up in the air, but I fucking found that poncho. It's amazing. It's zippered. It's got pockets. It's got a hood. Fucking thing is awesome. It looks like Dusty Rhodes' outfit. If you will. When the rain... See, I can't do my Dusty Rhodes impersonation right now, baby. Daddy-o. But when the rain comes pouring down, I gots to do what I gotta do, baby. Gotta keep going. What if New Jack was in a Nation of Domination? You should check out... You should Google New Jack Nation of Domination. You should go check out a little bit of early on. Check out New Jack Cemetery Undertaker. I would have loved New Jack in a Nation of Domination. I know he's talking about WWF. I would have loved it. I would have loved it. But then again, though, New Jack... He's got to be the focal point. New Jack, I just couldn't see him just standing on the sidelines, letting Rocky Maivia become the Rock and Farooq Asad doing what he's doing. I don't know. The more I think about it, I don't know if New Jack would have been good in it. New Jack on his own or with Mustafa? I almost said Mustafa. Mustafa Saeed. Do I have a Matt Menard shirt? No, I don't. And if I do, how do I clean it? I don't have a Matt Menard shirt. Oh, but I will say this. The 2.0 in AEW. Does anybody notice something? They sound awfully like the D'Angelo family. I go back, listen to that promo from Wednesday. I forgot to bring it up on Dynamite this past week. Listen to Matt Menard especially. I think he thinks he's Tony D'Angelo. Hey, Matt Menard, there's no vowel at the end of your name. If there's no vowel, you ain't Italian. So you don't do that. Uh-uh. You're a cardboard gangster. That's what you are. You're a cardboard fucking gangster. Matt Menard. What the fuck is a Menard? It sounds like it's some type of eating disorder. What the wrong's wrong with you? I got the Menard. Ugh. Menard. Do I think King of Games with the fire spot? Do I think AEW is still going to do Punk versus MJF for the belt like they were teasing after MJF's promo? It's possible. You know, my scenario of MJF getting involved in the CM Punk John Moxley match, I think that still could very much happen. Look, at this point, I don't know what the fuck is going on with MJF. And everyone else out there has no idea also. And you know what? That's probably a good thing. I'd rather be surprised. But if it ends up it was all a storyline, Tony Khan handled it awful. He will get a pass because of his love and support online by the noise. So they will give him a pass, but he has handled it awful. Awful. It's got to be storyline. Because what kind of message did you send your roster by you pussying out, not addressing someone who is totally unprofessional? There's no excuse for that. There is zero excuse for that. And he did not handle it or address it to the roster. You got to set an example. We don't tolerate that shit there. He walked down on every single one of you in this company. He fucking took everything and stepped all over it. But he can't do that because of the storyline. That's my opinion. I don't care if I'm wrong. I don't care if I'm wrong. I'm a wrestling fan first and foremost. Surprise me, bitch. Surprise me good. Entertain me. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. All right. Yeah, it's got to be a swerve. It's got to be a work. Think about it. The airline thing was the funniest. Because a lot of you remember, I was doing this show that night. And people were like, no, Don Tony, he's on the airport. He's going home. Is that? I'm like, man, the amount of money this guy gets, he's loose cannon. You buy the ticket, you leak it out. Everybody checks the airline. And then you cancel the ticket. You make sure you did the refund guarantee. You lose $100. So what? Look at the storyline it created out of it. You don't think $100, $150? Even if he paid $200 for the plane fare and lost it all, you don't think that that's not an investment? I laughed when that was going down because people were buying that shit. They were clickbaiting it, titles of shows. MJF quits, goes home, gets on a plane.
The plane, boss.
Fuck you, your plane. That freaking night, we called bullshit on that. And that was as it was going down.
No, Buck, the plane.
Plane my balls. I remember some of you trying to convince me. And I know why, because it's a good storyline. My God, it's one of the biggest news of the year. MJF legit quits, goes home, gets on a plane. You know, I'm leaving on a jet plane. I don't know when I'll be coming back again. You know, that's a big story. Was it true? Hervé Lachaise. Remember when he was in the Dunkin' Donuts commercials?
No, cream, no, the plane.
I used to like him. He was gangster, man. He used to, like, get his share of women. Talk about Virgil. I think Herb used to, they would have to, what would they do? I guess they would have to go on their knees and he would just stand up. I used to do a great impersonation of him. I haven't done it in 30 years. So, right now I just sound some out of whack Mexican that just like burned, like got oil and burned his hands. He's going,
no, boss, no.
I didn't see the new Beavis. Wait, we got new Beavis and Butthead episodes? Now I know what I'm doing tonight before I pop my Ambien. See, this is the final part of the show, everyone, where we kind of go off the rails a little bit and we just get into nonsense. So we could stick around in 5 extra minutes. This is like bonus footage. This is like the 12-inch version, so I'm going to check it out. I like the Beavis and Butthead movie. I had to watch it twice to really get the full effect. I thought it was done very well. I enjoyed the 2022 references. I enjoyed that. You know, being in space, I mean, you know, it's outrageous. But then again, like I said earlier, look at all these Fast and Furious movies. I have never watched one Fast and Furious movie from beginning to end. Trust me, I was in a horrible car accident in 96, and my car didn't even flip once. And I still walk around like I'm a cripple sometimes. These guys, they fucking flip their cars, things blow up, they fall off a cliff. 5 minutes later, there's like a girl on a dance floor with bikini, like whipping their ass in front of their face. Like, oh yeah, we had a rough day today. I don't know what I'm gonna do about car tomorrow. Fuck that. I can't buy into that shit. All right. What do I think of Sasha's 6-foot rule at the... Well, Josh, we opened up with that on the show. I guess we could kind of close it out with that. I'll talk about it tomorrow because I do have pictures. And I do have some pictures of her right next to people. I cannot throw shade on Sasha Banks. I agree that people should have been told this when they spend that kind of money. You don't want to hurt or insult Sasha Banks by saying, you know, at the table, I want a refund if I can't get close. It comes off almost like perverted. You know, imagine if somebody said that. I know some people immediately went to social media and complained about it. I put that more in C2E2 than anything else. But, you know, look, Sasha, we're still in COVID. You got this monkeypox scare and other shit. And, you know, look, we don't know her bio makeup. I have friends that have very weak immune systems. I'm not saying that Sasha Banks is a weak immune system. But, you know, you just, people feel very, very awkward still in this COVID era. I still see people with masks. I still see people keeping their distance. You know, I can't throw shade on Sasha. If she still feels a little bit uncomfortable, so be it. So be it. But that should have been something that C2E2 should have made clear beforehand. That should have been something discussed between Sasha and C2. And I, look, if Sasha had this rule, look, I don't want anybody any closer than 2 feet or 3 feet. I'm sure that was brought up to C2E2. That's not something you just keep inside and then you show up there. No. I blame C2E2. I don't blame Sasha Banks. Nah, Brian, there's a few pictures of her pretty distant from women. You know, it's, I can't, I'm not going to start cherry picking photos. You know, if she started feeling a little crappy afterwards and she didn't want to be, that's her prerogative. That's her right. That's her right. I can't, there's nothing you could say to me that would change my mind about that. I know Naomi, totally different story. Lita and Trish, definitely totally different story. But that's their right. That's their right. You know, I can't, I really can't. You know, people knew what they were paying for. They know about her history. You know, if people out there, I'm sure they probably could have asked for a refund. You know, maybe they couldn't. I don't know. But that's C2E2, I blame. Yeah, I think CM Punk is a lot closer to returning than people realize. I really believe that. You know, people like, oh, he was walking with a limp in San Diego. I'll walk with a fucking limp right now if you want. You know, I mean, but no, he had the boot on. Yeah, I'll put a cast over my body. I'll lay like this for the whole show. You know, what does that mean? I my gut feeling tells me he's going to be back sooner than we realize. Okay. Think it's time for me to go. Yes, A&E is doing that documentary on Lex Luger tonight. That is something they definitely want to watch as well. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. I didn't write down any topics, so I got to go skim through the show later, put a little synopsis together, because we always got to put a synopsis now. So, but great questions, great topics. I thank you all for contributing tonight. End up being a really, really fun show. It always is. But I love that you get to really, you know, set the stage as far as what we talk about. So on the way out, if you enjoyed the show, smash that like button. If you know anyone out there you think might like the channel, let them know about it. And don't forget tomorrow night at 11:05 p.m. right after Raw, I will be right back in this seat giving you a Raw recap, and we'll get into any other news. We'll definitely talk a little bit more about the Sasha stuff. And I have some photos that I will definitely share. And whatever else we need to get into. So be well, everybody. Much love. Thank you, as always, for your support. And I'll catch you all again soon. Oh, don't forget, this Thursday, next mailbag, if you want to submit a question that you want me to answer on the mailbag Thursday, email me, dontony@dontony.com, or later tonight, probably in about an hour or so, you'll see a thread posted in the community section on YouTube where you can submit your question there. So get them in by Wednesday afternoon, because I will be recording the show Wednesday. So much love, everybody. Be well.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now? Now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.